Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into
overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
That's what she said.
First Circus, Stephen Ricker's testicles. D-buddy, broken penis. Vitellary Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
And now, Michael Shockley, the Dirty D, in overtime. Play the intro. Oh, the intro already played.
The intro.
All right, let's do this quick because I want to go to bed.
All right, the bus trip from hell frozen over. You shared a lot of details on Iceman Live.
Yep, it snowed. We turned around. End of story. Next.
So you said it was actually all right to Louisville?
No, it was bad here in town.
But it was okay on the way
we
to
We never
Louisville.
Stopped on the way to Louisville, other than every 25 minutes
to clean the windshield.
Clean the windshields, but there wasn't traffic that we had to come to a standstill.
Gotcha.
That only happened after Louisville. But the highest rate of speed we ever got up to was 60, and that lasted for less than a mile. And most of the time we were driving between 35 and 40 miles an hour.
Yep. Yike.
So, it was beautiful. I kept saying, it's beautiful outside. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah. It's pretty to look at.
Yep.
It's a pain in the butt to drive in, but it's pretty to look at. So was Louisville itself bad, or was it not until after Louisville where
Louisville
it all really
was bad
down?
Because by the time we hit Louisville, like, we left at noon, so we got there about 4 with the time change, and it was rush hour.
Oh.
Yep.
And that's bad enough on a good day.
Yep. And you could tell people just left work because it was bad out, so it was massive rush hour. Yep.
So how long did it take you to get through Louisville?
I think like 50 minutes. And then we never even got, like, because you take 64 and then you connect with 71. Mm-hmm. We never even got to 71 until we were in the first accident pile up. So it was horrible.
Groovy.
Yep.
So you finally did then get to 71 and you only get like 20 miles out of town and then get stopped again?
Oh, no. We stopped 3 times on 71.
Oh, jeez.
And then at the 20 miles out was when we got the call from the ECHL to tell us to go home.
Was that already past the original game time?
Nope. We weren't
yet. But getting close.
Yeah, we were in constant communication, and Pyle said, we'll keep coming, but in a perfect situation, we'll be there in 2 hours, which would have put us there 8:30.
For a game that was supposed to start at
7:30.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, we should be there by 9:30. And then the guys got to stretch, and we got to unload and everything else, so that we weren't starting hockey until 9:30 at the earliest.
Yikes.
Yep.
So it was the right decision to just cancel it and live to fight another day.
Yep.
So how far did you get? Was it you mentioned Burger King and Wendy's. Is that exit at LaGrange?
Yep, that's where we were.
Yeah. I've driven that way enough.
Yeah.
So the team went to Burger King. You went to Wendy's, but then you said Burger King was short-staffed, so all the players came over to Wendy's, too?
Yeah, I learned early on, you watch where all the players go, and then you go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because they all flock together, and coaches talked about how much fun the team is and the great chemistry and everything else, but they can't bear to be apart, even if it's going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
So all 21 of them go in there, so then you run across the street and go somewhere else,
right,
and you get your food a lot quicker, and you don't get worried about getting fined and getting your fedora taken away from you.
So did they all stay at Burger King and wait?
No, they all came over to Wendy's. But at that point, I was already sitting down with my food.
So you were happy.
Oh, yeah.
You don't care that they came to Wendy's. Huh.
I walked with Bouvet Morissette and Matt Lowry, and I told Matt Lowry, I look good just like Nipaw, don't I? Because I have my slacks tucked into my snow boots. I said, I look like you know, one of your neighbors snow blowing, don't I? And then Mo asked me if I was buying dinner. I said, for a goal scorer like you, heck yeah, you buy anything you want, I'll cover it. So, but he's a good kid. He wasn't forcing it. He's like, no, 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 I have my money.
Maybe that's what we should do in OA spot. Oh, that'd be Andre Bouvet Morissette.
That'd be sweet.
So yeah, I think well established from Twitter that Hungry Guy Lepi is a frightening.
It is, and that all started on the very first bus trip that we had when we hit all that traffic on our way to where did we go for the first one? Kalamazoo,
yeah.
And we got hung up, and we stopped off on a Friday night at 7 o'clock at a Outback Steakhouse, and then they came back and like. Again, all 21 guys go in.
Yeah.
Like, there's an hour and a half wait.
Well, like, yeah. For that many people.
So we got back into the bus. He's like, I'm hungry. And, yeah, he just gets this look, and everyone gets nervous. So, but the best was him just eating and being all happy and then building those snowballs and ambushing people.
Chucking snowballs
at
people.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Did he get you?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, we were one of the first because, again, we were done quick. So.
Right. Did he get you in the head or in the
right
body?
In the chest. Oh. Yep.
Well,
so yep,
that's good. At least he wasn't aiming for the noggin.
Well, and it was such, it was so powdery that
yeah.
It wasn't like it was an ice ball or something like that.
So yeah, Guy throws snowballs at people, and then you get back in the bus, and the bus actually got stuck in the
yep.
parking lot.
Yeah, because
I thought
just
you were kidding when you tweeted that.
Nope, we were literally stuck. I thought, wow, we finally got the league to tell us to turn around, and now we're going to have to sit here for 2 hours because we're going to call for a tow truck for a bus in the Burger King parking lot, and they're going to laugh at us and keep dealing with all the cars spun out on the highway.
Yeah.
And I thought we were honestly going to spend the night there.
So how did you get it off?
He backed all the way up, almost broke the drive-through overhang thing, and then got enough speed just to get up the little incline and get us out. And all the guys were screaming and yelling and stomp on it. It was madness.
Wow. So then the roads weren't too bad on the way back. You said you got back to Evansville in about 2.5 hours, which
yep.
that's really yep. more or less normal.
Yep. Louisville was all scraped and salted and everything else. We had to slow down a little bit coming back to Evansville, but yeah, we made great time.
So when you were coming back westbound, was eastbound still a mess?
Yes, it was an absolute mess.
Huh. That's weird, isn't it? It's weird how that happens yep. where sometimes it seems like one direction, same road, same conditions, yep. one direction is snake bit and the other direction's yep. fine.
It was horrible. We were just looking at all the lights thinking, crap, that could have been us again. So,
yeah, no kidding.
Then I got home. Coach went and shoveled his driveway, and I went for a 2-hour walk in the snow.
Did you really?
Yeah. It's beautiful out.
You didn't shovel?
I shoveled the next morning.
Yeah, I waited till the morning, too, because there was no way I was going to go out that evening.
Didn't want to bother my neighbors with the scraping because I figured it was going to take a long time.
Yeah,
so.
It did, at least for me. Yeah, it took me yeah. like 2 or 3 hours to get everything totally done. Yeah. So, yeah. Essentially, as Patrick Kennedy summed up, you traveled 9 hours to have dinner with the boys.
Yep.
But it was fun.
It was.
That's one of those kind of bonding experiences that you'll...
The best was...
you could never script it.
Ross and I decided to throw in Team America on the movie thing.
Yeah.
Coach was not a fan, but he kept quoting it over and over. So it was pretty funny.
What else did you watch?
Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone was more talking and everything else.
It was just
is
on.
That, yeah, and so I would like look up and catch a bit of it because I haven't seen it, and I'm not really that interested in it. And it just looked like some girl was lost in the woods for 7 hours. I mean, it looked. I was watching this movie and looking out the window, and I thought I would much rather be in this bus than her in that forest because all she does is walk around.
Yeah, you know, without audio, that's kind of what it is.
There was audio, but.
You weren't really paying attention to it.
I don't know if it was going anywhere.
Hmm. So, any other stories about the trip from the bus and whatnot? Didn't get to share on live?
I think we covered them all. Just the guys were, I guess what I would share is coach did not want to play that game. The guys did not want to play that game. And you have to think it's more than just a bus trip. These guys played a game the night before. They're sitting in this bus. And once you hit that 3-hour, 4-hour mark, they're starting to cramp up. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking about, you know, they have to play at a professional hockey level. And they're getting cramped up. They can't get comfortable. Half the bus is hot. Half the bus is cold.
Start getting stressed because of it.
And they started getting, not grumpy, but a little angsty. Mm-hmm. And coach did not want to play at all. And what I thought was interesting is I met with the Brian McKenna, the ECHL commissioner, was in the Ford Center on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing because we had so many people calling Iceman headquarters. Is the game canceled? And again, it hadn't even snowed yet.
Right.
You know, the first drizzle didn't even start till 11 o'clock at night, the freezing rain. And people were already calling to see if the game was canceled. So I asked, the first question I asked Mr. McKenna was, you know, we've had a lot of people asking about this. What's the ECHL's stand on postponing games due to weather? Mm-hmm. And he said that the only real concern is travel. He said, we would play this game regardless because both teams are already in town. So as long as our fans, we felt it was safe for our fans to drive 5 minutes, 10 minutes to the game, then we would play it. And then here we are less than 24 hours later, stuck in traffic for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And not exactly sure it was safe, that trip. So just kind of interesting. But, yeah, coach just, he's like, this is miserable. And because what we were looking at was going on the ice at 9 o'clock, playing until midnight, and then getting back on that bus. Again, it's not the sleeper bus, so all these guys, after they've been cramped up for 9 hours and playing a hockey game, would be cramped up for another, what, 4, yeah. 5, 6,
you don't
7?
Know what the road conditions are going
to
be.
Getting back to Evansville, if we can even get back to Evansville, and then having to play Toledo again. That would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
So
when did... When did you or was coach the one talking to McKenna?
Yes.
So when did he talk to him first?
Probably, I think 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning.
So you hadn't even left yet.
Yeah.
It was an FYI. Yeah. This is.
Yep. I had
this
already.
This might be bad.
And it's kind of just the way we work is I had called Nick Brunker, the broadcaster from the Cyclones, fantastic broadcaster, and said, hey, we did get the snow. So just a heads up.
It's coming your way.
Well, not even that as much as, you know, I don't know what 64 is like, but it's here, and we're going to be struggling. We may have delays. And Patafi called the physical therapist, athletic trainer over there, and Ross, the equipment manager, called their equipment manager. So, and then eventually Ben Simon called Jeff to say, hey, what's the status of everything else? So all of us in our job positions were conferring with the other one, and then McKenna got involved later on in the afternoon.
Was McKenna still in town, or had he already left?
No, he had already left.
Huh. So you gave them the heads up before you even left.
Yep.
And you left earlier than originally
noon,
scheduled.
Yeah, noon instead of 12:45.
Which ultimately didn't end up making a darn bit of difference.
No. Huh. I'm not even know if 9 a.m. would have made that much of a difference.
Yeah, with that much of a trouble... Probably not.
Yep, because you just don't know what other accidents we would have ended up hitting.
Right.
So
when you finally get back, all the guys disperse and go home. What was there any talk that you heard on Saturday at the Ford Center when everybody reconvenes? I mean,
as far as
just, you know, guys feeling weird from the long trip, or
no,
was everybody feeling
no,
okay?
Everyone, or? As soon as it got canceled and we got food and everyone was in a good mood.
And it stayed that way.
Yeah, and then having a great drive home just made it fantastic. So I mean, I was at my house by 9 o'clock, I think, or no, maybe it wasn't. No,
and
I think it was 10.
Patafi was sleeping at the rink.
It was 10, but we were back at the Ford Center by 9, so we were actually off earlier than a game night. So it worked out well.
So nobody else got stuck. Patafi was the only one who got stuck at the arena.
Yeah, I almost got stuck parking. And got my car out because I couldn't see when the because everyone was parked all over the Ford Center, and so I wedged myself between two trucks and slid off the parking lot. And I'm like, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me!" And that was my thought was, if we get back at 3 a.m, my car's going to be stuck. But I got out, and then I went and parked somewhere else. So I almost got stuck before we even left.
Yeah, that was a bad omen. It's all your fault.
Maybe.
So you, as you mentioned, you talked to Brian McKenna. Was there anything else interesting from that conversation, either on or off air, that's worth sharing?
the best thing, my best line in the whole thing, he's a really cool dude. We talked about Indianapolis fuel coming in and that whole thing. And so we talked about that a little bit. And I said, in my typical style, I don't think he was prepared for it. I said, now, is there any truth to the rumors that we've been hearing down here in Evansville that Fort Wayne, when Indianapolis comes into the league, Fort Wayne will be heading to the Western Conference?
And what did he say?
He just looked at me, and then he busted out laughing, and he said, you'd like that, wouldn't you? I'm like, they can move as far away from us as they want. So, yeah, that was a good one.
He is a nice guy. Yep. He actually sat up in the press box a few times last year when he was in town for various games and usually sat down toward the end where I was, and I got to chat with him a few times. Really nice guy. And I saw him at the game on Thursday and wondered why he was in town and why he chose the game with that kind of weather.
He just works them all and
yeah,
they just
kind of wanders around
and
areas.
And he likes doing the games where he gets two teams. It is one of the things that he brought up because I asked him about his schedule. I'm like, how do you get a job like this? Your job is just drive around and watch hockey. And
yeah.
He said he tries to target the games where Evansville plays Cincy, and then he goes and sees this, or Evansville plays Toledo, then he goes and gets to see Evansville again away in Cincinnati's home, and then he goes with Cincy, that goes with them, but then he goes to see Cincy on the road in another place.
Yeah, because so, I think they were going to Wheeling
yes,
on Saturday.
Yeah.
So he was going to be in Cincinnati too?
Yep. Yeah, he went to Cincy.
So he made it. He went Thursday night?
Yep. No, I don't think he went Thursday night. I don't know when he went.
Huh. But he had gotten there.
Yep.
So he was already over there waiting
yep.
for you guys to get there.
Yep.
And he was waiting a long time.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing that we discussed? Oh, that was the day that Clemente had gotten called up.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike McKenna had just been named AHL Goaltender of the Month and then had gotten called up to the Blue Jackets. So I started off the interview with saying, when I call you Mike five times, it's because of the
Mike McKenna.
Yes.
Yeah. I know your name is Brian.
Yes.
And I know a Brian, but he's not you.
So, but that was about it with the commish.
Cool. So the CBS 44 TV special will air, as mentioned before, Sunday the 29th at 10 o'clock. You were supposed to record things on Tuesday, but that did not go according to plan. Care to
no,
extrapolate?
Not for me. I can extrapolate. Someone didn't verify that there would be ice at the Ford Center.
It's kind of critical.
Yeah.
This is the ice.
This is the ice. Well, my big segment was going to be icing. We're going to explain icing in Hockey 101, and I'm like,
Ooh. There's
no flipping red line. What the heck are we doing here? So we're going to shoot all that next Monday.
So how did the but you recorded audio for it?
A little bit, yeah.
What exactly are they doing with this? When the last one focused on training camp and talking to the players, are they doing that this
time? I kind of got pulled out of some of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're dismayed.
Yeah. So,
so you don't know as much about exactly what it's going to be.
I didn't pay attention. All I heard was, you're not doing this and this and this, and you're not doing the interviews with the players. And I said,
cool.
That's one less thing I have to worry about.
Good deal.
Which worked out well, since I'm redoing all of my paperwork for Alan York being gone and
yeah.
and Thomas Larkin being gone and Austin Medeski coming in, because all that stuff has to get sent to the other broadcasters. So
yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. You hate transactions as much as Pyle does.
Yes. I don't know if we hate it. It just... It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So, changing gears. Well, actually, we'll because you mentioned York, we'll skip ahead a bullet. Not an issue right now, but there had been talk at the beginning of the season that Clemente and or York were going to get blue shells for their red pants, but that never seemed to happen. So, do you know what happened?
I heard a rumor, but let me verify before I throw Brian Vaal under the bus.
Oh, come on. Let's go on and throw them under the bus.
No.
Come on. We can use them for traction.
Well, I have no problem with throwing people under the bus, but I like to have the facts first. So let me get the facts from Ross, and then we'll bring that up next week.
Okay. If there's a next week.
If there is always a next week. You just don't know what week it'll
show,
occur.
Right. So how did Skate with Santa go
fantastic,
at Swander?
Fantastic. Fantastic. They did an amazing job, as always, over at Swander, but they got all kinds of places to donate prizes, door prizes,
mm-hmm.
and I, for the 2 hours, I gave this stuff away. We did Iceman trivia, and we did Christmas trivia. And Connor Prairie for free passes. SEMO, free passes. Donut Bank gave away tons of free donut, dozen donuts.
Nice.
The Kentucky Derby gave away four passes.
Ooh.
There was, and that's just scratching the surface. There was so much stuff that there had to have been 35 things that I gave away that were easily. Oh, Sam's Club gave away a $75 gift card.
Wow.
I mean, it was amazing.
How was the turnout?
It was really good because they also had the ice show. The Evansville Figure Skater Club had the ice show. So big line for Santa taking pictures. Guys went out and skated. Sawyer Hanna was checking other icemen.
I enjoyed that story.
And choked out Peter Sakaris. And he's just a monster, man. and it was just an absolute blast. So the guys had fun. They did a great job. They signed autographs. It's funny when you have it, – it's weird when you have guys as good as they are and then kids come up and like, how much does it cost to get an autograph? And they're all afraid and shy and, you know, some of them are like digging through like their $3 bills and they're like, dude, it's free. And so they sign stuff and these kids are so excited.
And they light up.
Yep, and it's awesome. So.
So who was a bigger hit, Santa or the Iceman?
I don't know.
Kind of 50-50?
I think it was kind of 50-50. Hmm. So.
So how did Santa do?
Santa did all right. He's no me, but when I did Santa, but he had fun. So, so it was. Well, I don't want to mention any names. So Santa did a good job. And he had fun, and then Santa had to change quickly and referee a game.
Wow, who knew Santa was a zebra?
Yep, that's all the best are naughty and nice, man. We're always keeping track of it.
Hey, that's true. That's a good tie-in.
Oh, I like that.
I like that. Yeah. Bonus hockey. Joe Ernst, the VP of Hockey Ops for the ECHL.
I'm just going to say this right now. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
You think so?
You can just read your little spiel. It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid. There you go.
That I brought it up?
No, the whole...
Or the concept.
Yes, the concept.
Okay. So Joe Ernst writes a regular blog on ECHL.com called 2 Minutes for Blogging.
That wasn't stupid.
He talks about the behind-the-scenes operations of the league and also takes questions from readers. So two blogs ago, there was no question from a reader, so I figured, well, maybe he just doesn't have any, and I decided to fire one off about a topic we have discussed a little bit on this show and also on the Asylum. So I asked
him... It belongs on the Asylum.
I asked him about the ECHL possibly doing what has been rumored for the NHL and adding a 3-on-3 overtime between the 4-on-4 overtime and the shootout because everybody's complaining about too many shootouts. So his response was that he will propose a change to the rules committee for next season. It said he thinks 3-on-3 overtime brings excitement to the game and is more exciting than a shootout, but it may be too much to play 5 minutes of 4-on-4, then 5 minutes of 3-on-3, and then do a 5-round shootout. So he may propose doing 3 minutes of 4-on-4, 3 minutes of 3-on-3, and then a 3-round shootout. And the take-home quote was, "I wouldn't be surprised if there is some sort of change in the way overtime and the shootout are set up for next season, as making things more exciting for the fans is what's important, but the league's owners would have to approve any recommendations we put forth." So, stupid idea?
Yes.
You hate the idea?
Absolutely.
3-on-3
hate
in
it.
General?
Yes. It's dumb.
So you think 4-on-4 and then shootout is the way it should stay?
I'm fine with a tie.
Well, yeah, you're
old.
Weird.
I'm old.
Well, yeah.
That's the way it was for a long, long time.
You're weird. So you just would prefer to end it. Do you want overtime at all, or do you just say if it's tied at the end of regulation, it's tied? And
I'm
that's
fine.
It?
At this point, I've accepted the 4-on-4 for 5 minutes and the shootout. So, and I love the shootout. I don't understand why people have a problem with it. I think it's fun because we always ended them in a tie. It always was 60 minutes of hockey, and then both teams got 1 point. And there was a lot of ties. So
yeah, that's very true.
And so now everyone still gets 1 point, except for the team that wins it. They get two. So you got a winner and you have a tie.
Well, I think the biggest problem people have with the shootout is that
they're dumb.
Well,
we don't have enough things to do in this world, so we're going to come up with a very convoluted way to come up with the exact same thing that we already have.
Yeah, that's kind of true. So,
and I don't even want to hear the, well, you know, shootout isn't That isn't a hockey situation. Well, I've seen a lot of breakaways
That's
in hockey.
True.
And you know
and
what I've never
penalty
seen?
Shots.
You know what I've never seen in hockey? Live?
What?
Or in a game? 3-on-3. I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
Yeah?
Briefly.
This season, yeah. Now, what about last season? What about the season before that?
Yeah.
What about the season before
it's
that?
Very
what about
rare.
Ever before the very rare. It doesn't ever happen except for one time in what? 25 years?
That means it's very rare.
That's less than very rare. That's what's the old Dungeons and Dragons term for the one in a million sort of destiny? Fix the Health Care Act. There you go. Take your time. Go fix the Health Care Act.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that.
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. Since the Icemen only play games within the Eastern Conference, it's kind of easy to forget about what's going on out in the West. So from time to time, we'll spend a few minutes here in overtime to see what's going on out there.
I keep an eye on it because I want to see where we're playing for a championship.
Right now, it could be Ontario. The Reign are the top dogs in the West. They're 15-3-4.
That's one of my favorite choices because I want to see Jason Dale.
The second best winning percentage in the ECHL behind only South Carolina. Jason Dale does have no goals. He has one assist and is -1 in 4 games so far with the Reign. Their leading scorer is a guy who's not there anymore. A guy named Dan Da Silva had 26 points and was +12 in the first 14 games.
Yeah.
On pace for 134 points and +62.
Yep.
That would be one heck of a season.
Yeah, that would mean he doesn't belong here.
Yeah. And he's not here now. He has been called up to the AHL, the Worcester Sharks. He was called up on November 20th, like 3 weeks ago, but he's still tied for second in the ECHL in scoring. That's how far and away ahead of everyone he was. So that's pretty crazy. Da Silva is actually currently tied with former Iceman forward Anthony Nigro, who is tearing it up with the Idaho Steelheads, who are pretty good. They're 11-6-4. Nigro,
why couldn't he
do that here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it just our locker room and everything else and this place and what was all going on last year?
I don't
year?
Know. Well, there was also a different dynamic in that he was sent down, so maybe there was an element of didn't want to be here, whereas this year he voluntarily... Well, I mean, he didn't get an offer in the yep. AHL, so he's actually under ECHL contract. That could change your mindset.
Yep.
But he's got 11 goals and 15 assists in 21 games, so tied for second in the league in scoring. Good for him. But, yeah
definitely.
Kind of shame he didn't do that here last year. But speaking of last year, Rich Kroms, Stockton Thunder are doing pretty well. They're 12.
That's my number two
in the West.
Favorite for playing for a championship.
They are 12-8-2. They're firmly in the playoff picture right now. They're doing it with balance.
Firmly in the playoff.
Well, who isn't in the West? They're doing it with balance. They do not have any players in the top 20 in league scoring, but they have 7 forwards and 3 defensemen who have at least 10 points. And their goalie is a familiar name, Brian Foster, who was the goalie for the Cyclones last year. He's their number one. He's doing really well, too. 10-3-2. 250 goals against and a .921 save percentage. So he's having a solid year for Mr. Krom. Going further down the standings, the Las Vegas Wranglers are 8th out of 9 in the conference. They're hanging on to that last spot at 7-12-1. That sounds like a playoff team if I've ever heard it.
I'm not going to complain. Like I've said before, if you want to complain about the West, you're more than welcome to join the conference.
Yeah, go out there and travel all the time. Interestingly, their number two scorer is former Iceman Carlo Fanucci.
Could have used him for that orthopedic associates read.
Yeah, Carlo Fanucci. He's got 15 points in 19 games for the Wranglers, so good to see him doing well out there. I can't say, having seen him play a little bit here and there for the Iceman last year, I didn't know that he had that in him, that kind of production, so good for him. And then our final bullet is last place, the Bakersfield Condors. They are 5-13-1, last in the conference, and in serious danger of making their new season ticket holders very happy because at the beginning of the season, that's the team that ran the deal that said, if we don't make the playoffs, your new season ticket holders get their season tickets for free.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What happens if the season ticket holders refuse to take the tickets?
Yeah. So... going to be interesting to see what happens with the Condors. They're so bad. Their leading scorer has just 11 points. The Icemen, by comparison, have 8 players who have 11 or more points.
Yeah.
But probably the most interesting thing about Bakersfield is their goalies have some great names. Their two goalies right now are named Chet Pickard and Tyler Bunz. B-U-N-Z.
I like it.
Yeah, Chet and Bunz.
Chet and Bunz.
Sounds like a morning... radio show.
It does.
It?
With more class than ours.
Yeah, well, that's not saying much.
Yep.
So, that's all.
The hell did we do a whole overtime and you didn't say penis once, but you put it all over the WYIR broadcast?
Because it was
what's wrong with you? That's 2857,
yeah,
by the way.
I think I'll have to
write
that.
2857.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get the horn ready.
Appreciate that.
Anything else you'd like to curse about?
Yes. Not that I'd like to curse about, but there was some shenanigans on the Maniacs Asylum. I'm sure you're surprised.
No.
Yes. When people getting their feelings hurt and everything else. So I've come up with a solution.
Okay.
One, I kind of like it because now we have like that Civil War thing going on with like the Yankees and the Confederates with the diehard Iceman fans. So I really dig that. So I'm kind of hoping that Jacob Daniel Franklin Esquire.
The third.
Smokey the Bear, because he came in from that that tailgate party out in the back 40.
His beer in the ice pile.
I don't know about that, but obviously, who put that thing together?
Danny Matthews.
Yeah, Danny Matthews. And he said something about bringing firewood out there. Well, Jacob Daniel Franklin Esquire, the 42nd, must have been sitting on top of it because he came into Iceman headquarters to help Dixie carry everything over.
Mm-hmm.
And like he smelled like all that smoke was in his clothes. So he just walked
over a campfire.
He's like, it was so cold out there. But
It's 20 degrees.
So I'm kind of hoping that Jacob works in like a Iceman-colored Confederate flag onto his diehard wallpaper. That'd be sweet. But my other suggestion is we just need to go back to MySpace. See, no one ever had problems on MySpace. It's just Facebook was horrible. So we need to all reactivate our MySpace accounts because MySpace was so cool, and Facebook has always sucked.
MySpace isn't even still around as a social network, though.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was more of like an entertainment site now.
I don't know what
it
is.
Didn't Justin Timberlake buy into it or something?
All I know is I think they're trying to spark the interest again because every once in a while I get an email that says, come check out so-and-so's new profile.
I get that too.
He's dead. He's one of my friends who died. I know he doesn't have a new profile, but I think we all need to go back to MySpace and all of our asylum problems will go away.
Maybe we should go to Skype and you can have random
See, the best thing about MySpace was you got to like program your song playlist.
Yeah,
so
I
like you put
like
your
that.
Pictures on it. You kind of got to
set the mood
of your page. Right. Yeah. So all you weirdos that crybabied about Rock and Roll Part 2 when it was taken away from you, you guys could put that on your MySpace page, and people could take the AHA banner and take a picture of that and put that on their MySpace page.
And
see,
you could
it
set
would
the
so
themes to have different colors.
Yeah, and all the problems are, you know, you don't like Cold Stone Blizzard, you like the old Blizzard, then you can put pictures of the old Blizzard up. It's the thing that's, if you like Terry Ficarelli better than me as a broadcaster, you can put Terry Ficarelli play-by-play on an MP3 and put it on your MySpace page. Everyone would be happy. We would all be friends.
If there was any Terry Ficarelli audio on MySpace, that would be reason enough to never go back.
See, but no, because you could... No, it isn't that. See, you're just a hater. Maybe you do belong in the asylum. Just telling you, MySpace would solve all of our problems.
So you mentioned Blizzard. You probably
Cold Stone Blizzard.
Cold Stone Blizzard.
I am under
yes.
contract. I have,
you
to,
have
say,
to say, Cold,
I have
Stone
to say
Blizzard.
Cold Stone Blizzard.
So you probably didn't hear it, but did you know that the gentleman who is performing as Blizzard now is some sort of drum specialist and is very good at percussion, which is also Brad Perkins' background.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh God, Brad's not getting all his panties in a wad, is he?
No.
Coming in to steal his thing.
No, but
he's already been super mean on the asylum.
But the cool thing, yeah, being Mr. Big Mean Administrator, yeah. So
Brad Perkins, he's nothing but a jerk.
So the new Cold Stone Blizzard has this massive ability to take a drumstick or two and a cowbell and go to town. Well, Perkins likes to do the same thing. So they had like this drum off on cowbells where Blizzard started.
Isn't that a cowbell off?
Okay, sure. A drumstick off on cowbells.
I guess.
I don't know what
a Yorkford
you call
salad.
It. A cowbell battle?
Yorkford salad.
Yes. It was a Yorkford salad. So they did this back and forth where Cold Stone Blizzard would hit the cowbell several times and he's really good, and then Brad would do it back, and they went back and forth.
Cool. I missed the whole thing.
Oh, it was like...
Darn noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah. But it was
the
right
only
after
thing
that
I see is my commercial.
Oh.
It's like the only time I look up the entire game.
I really
game.
Enjoy that. But I got to know, why is Beaulieu wearing number 46? Is that just the jersey that was around?
That's the TV jersey.
Ah. Why 46? Was that like...
It was
just one laying
around?
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't that Shepke's number last year?
I can't even remember.
You can't remember what happened yesterday.
That's true, too.
So, anything else? Did you have anything else from the trip?
Ian Frazier is a piece of stuff that ends up in Brian Patafi's pants.
I'm sorry, what? You have to extrapolate.
I was just going back to the whole Brian Patafi pooping in his pants. So
okay. Gotcha.
I did that. So,
I wasn't following there.
And what else? I think that's about
it. Did Ian give you any crap for throwing him under the bus on overtime last week, or did he not listen?
He didn't listen. Oh. He doesn't even... He used to be like this working guy, comes out to Iceman Live and takes pictures and handles all the tweeting and stuff. Now I get a tweet from him at 8:30, and it's a question for Brian Patafi. I'm like, dude, it's a little late. You're not even listening to the show anymore. It's pathetic. He's pathetic. That's all I got.
So can we throw Brian Vaughl under the bus now? Not for the reason we were going to earlier. Just I like throwing Brian Vaughl under the bus.
No, he got his Domino's pizza. Can't throw him under the bus.
That's true.
And he shows up. Well, I can't talk about that. So that's all I got.
Nothing else?
No, I think we're done. Let's go to bed.
All right, sounds
Not
good.
Not with each other.
Well.
With Soupy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's all I wanted. MySpace. MySpace is the answer. The internet went downhill when MySpace was taken over by Facebook.
I think the internet went downhill when the internet was created. It started at the top and it's worked its way down ever since.
All right.
Obviously,
we're done.
We have...
How do we sign this out?
We have a show. We don't really have... It's just Music Bomb.
Good. We're done.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.